Welcome to the show. My name is Gary Zimak. Great to be back here with you once again on Blog Talk Radio. Hope you had a great weekend. I had a fantastic weekend, and today as I'm recording this show, the wind is coming through the windows. It's got the windows open. It is a beautiful day. Have a nice breeze coming in through the air when I record this. I hope that wherever you are, the weather is cooperating and that you're able to appreciate it as much as I am. We have got a great show for you today, and I'm excited about it. We're going to kick things off by looking at the Mass readings, today's daily Mass readings for Monday, from the Monday of the 12th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading today contains one of my favorite stories, the story of Abraham. And there is a line that kicks off the first reading today that really touched me, and I want to talk more about it. It has to do with trust. Now, if you are someone who, like me sometimes, struggles to trust the Lord, this is something that there is a lesson for you contained in this first reading today. So stick around. We'll talk about it. In the gospel today, we learn about judgment. We hear so much anymore about you cannot judge. Don't be judgmental. You're too judgmental. You Catholics, you're judging everybody. Jesus has some strong words about that. And I'm really glad that I have the opportunity to talk a little more in depth about this gospel than I do on my morning show, Spirit in the Morning. Things move faster, and I don't always have the time that I need to really explore it, because we can't just say that Jesus is saying, do not judge anyone ever. Do not ever question if somebody's committing an immoral act. Don't say something if your children or your spouse or your brother or your sister is doing something that might spiritually get them into trouble one day. That's not exactly what Jesus is saying, so we'll take a close look at his words. And also, we're going to play a pre-recorded interview that I did with Father Jim Sitchko from my morning show. We actually just recorded it this morning, and I think you'll really enjoy it. It's a very, very good interview, because Father Jim is such a dynamic person. If you've never had the opportunity to read what he writes, follow him on Twitter, or hear him speak in person, I invite you to check out this interview. I think you're going to like it. It's all about finding God in the ordinary. And I think for many of us, that's a big challenge. How do I find God as I'm on my way to work, as I'm at work, when I'm at the store, when I'm in school, wherever I am? How do I encounter the Lord? I guarantee you he's there, but sometimes it is a challenge to find him. Right, but that's not his problem, that's our problem. So Father Jim will have some advice. Plus, we'll have the usual features from Carlo Broussard, from Tony Rossi of the Christophers. All in all, it's going to be a busy 30 minutes, and I'm so glad that you're joining me for it. If you would do me a favor, please let somebody know about this podcast if you're enjoying it, and I would still love to hear from you. Let me know what you think about the podcast. I'm still relatively new in getting it back up and running again. I took a few months off when the morning show was just coming about, and I would appreciate you letting me know, am I on the right track? Are you enjoying it? Are there things you like about it, and are there things you don't like about it? You know, the way I've always envisioned this show is that it's just you and me sitting around a table with a beverage. You know, I used to talk about a lot about my beverage du jour. You have your beverage, I have my beverage, you might have a snack, and we're just talking about Jesus. We're going over the Mass readings, we're talking about Jesus. Two friends just talking about the Lord. That's the way I want this show to be, and I hope that it's helping you to grow closer to Jesus Christ. Let's begin with the prayer asking the Lord's blessing on the time that we are about to spend with one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we know you are present with us. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your presence throughout the day, no matter what we do. We know that you are right beside us. Lord, please continue to watch over us and help us. Help us to grow closer to you this day. Help us to see you in everyone that we meet. And help us be able to share your goodness with those around us. We present to you our needs, whatever they may be. You know, we all have certain issues right now, Lord, certain problems, certain concerns, certain even hopeless situations. We know, Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that with you all things are possible. You can perform any miracle imaginable. So we give to you our problems, and we ask you to handle them for us. I also ask you, Lord, to send your Holy Spirit to work through me this day. Allow me to use the words that you wish us to hear. And please open our minds and hearts to be receptive to those words. And as always, we ask for these things through the intercession of your Blessed Mother Mary. And Mary, we ask you to help us, always draw us closer to your Son, Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Well, I'm Gary Zimak. I want to invite you to visit my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information about my work, or to maybe invite me to speak at your parish or conference. I would love to do that. I'm booking for the remainder of 2017 right now. Also, I am booking for 2018. So if you think maybe you'd like to have me come out to speak at your parish, you know I'd love to do it. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Let's take a look now at our Mass readings for Monday of the 12th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading is a reading from the book of Genesis. We begin in chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. This is the story of Abraham. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and curse those who curse you. All of the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you." Abram went as the Lord directed him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai, his brother's son Lot, all the possessions that they had accumulated, and the persons they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land as far as the sacred place at Shechem, by the terebinth of Morah. The Canaanites were then in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So Abram built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country east of Bethel, pitching his tent with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. He built an altar there to the Lord and invoked the Lord by name. Then Abram journeyed on by stages to the Negev. Okay, there are a couple of things that immediately strike me that when I heard this reading this morning at Mass, I just said, I need to, number one, really dwell on these messages, and number two, just share them with you on this program. The first thing is, the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." Do you get what's happening here? First of all, the Lord is trying to call the people. He's trying to create a people. And ultimately, this will be the Israelites. People are scattered. The Lord does not, if you will, he's developing a church here. The people are all over the place. And the Lord wants to gather them back together under the leadership of Abram, whose name will be changed to Abraham. And what does the Lord say to him? He says, "Abram, come with me. I need you to leave your homeland and go to a land that I will show you." Now, do you hear Abram say, "Well, where is the land? Tell me the details"? No. The Lord told him, "Abram, come." And he went with him. Eventually, he would realize that he was calling him to go to Canaan. But that isn't apparent at the very beginning. Abram was 75 years old. Pretty old by today's standards. When we look at this, and if you're feeling that it's too late for you, and maybe you really can't do what the Lord wants you to do at this point in your life, whatever that point may be, you need to look at this story and really understand what's happening here. 75 years old, Abram is just getting started. The Lord is promising Abram the land to which he will give his descendants. Abraham and his wife, they don't have any children yet. They're old. He's 75. She's not much younger. And yet this will all come about. If this was you, if you're Abram in this situation, do you trust? And if you're like me, you're going to look at this and say, "Wow, this is really hard to trust. I don't know if I could do it." Well, this is where we can take comfort. No matter what we're being called to do, no matter what we feel the Lord is asking us, it could be some sort of a medical condition, it could be a sudden job loss, It could be financial despair, almost. Look at Abram and ask the Lord to grant you the faith that Abram had. And we'll be continuing with this story in the days to come, but it's such a great story for us to read. The psalm is Psalm 33. Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. We are chosen. We are chosen to be sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father who created us to one day live forever in his kingdom. That's a great blessing. And we should be very honored to be in that position. Blessed the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen for his own inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down, he sees all mankind. See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine. Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us, who have put our hope in you. Are you putting your hope in the Lord, or are you putting your hope in the things of the world? You're putting your hope in your bank account. Are you putting your hope in other people? Ultimately, even though we need to save money in the bank, and certainly we don't want to live in a careless way, we want to ultimately put our hope and our trust in our Lord. That's what Abram is doing in this first reading. And that's something we all need to consider. Am I really putting my hope in the Lord? Do I believe that he can do all things? Do I believe that he is all powerful? Or do I question? Do I worry? Do I panic about my future? That's a question that we all have to ask ourselves today. The Holy Gospel is according to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. This is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stop judging, that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged. And the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove that splinter from your eye,' while the wooden beam is in your eye? You hypocrite! Remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye." All right, what's happening here? First thing we need to remember is we cannot judge the state of somebody's soul. And what that means is I can't look at you or another person and say that you are, or this person is, going to be condemned and will go to hell one day. Only the Lord can do that. So I can't do that. Also, I can't judge somebody's motives. If you do something to me, you say something, you do an action to me that is wrong, I can't justifiably say he knew exactly what he was doing. He was out to get me. This person had it in his mind to hurt me, and he knew what he was doing, and he did it on purpose. I can't do that, and I shouldn't even try to do that because that's wrong. Jesus is telling us, avoid that. On the other hand, if I see you, maybe you and I are close friends, committing a mortal sin, something that could one day send you to hell for all eternity. And look, let's face it, that happens. Our church teaches hell is real and we could all go there. So let's not play games and pretend that hell doesn't exist. I see you doing that. Is Jesus telling me I can't judge your action? No, he's not doing that. There are times when I need to point something out to you. Listen, my friend, because I love you, I'm telling you that what you're doing is wrong. It goes against the teachings of the church. And you choose your moment to tell somebody that. You don't do it in the middle of a party when other people can hear. You choose your moment for that. But you're doing that out of love, or you should be doing that out of love. But the other thing Jesus says, and he cautions us about, is I need to look at myself first. Above all, I can only control my behavior. I can't control your behavior, so I'm responsible for anything sinful that I do. I need to first, and every day, I need to be looking at myself and analyzing. An examination of conscience is a great thing for this. Analyzing, am I living according to godly principles? Am I doing that? Or am I judging people? Am I putting things on social media that I shouldn't put there? Am I looking at things on the internet that I shouldn't look at? I need to look at myself and analyze that. somebody criticizes me or says something nasty, am I doing that? Am I treating those around me with love? And in order for me to be able to recognize what those around me may be doing that may be harmful to themselves, I need to understand how I'm living my life first. And that's what Jesus is saying. Make sure you take care of your own house before you go criticizing other people and the way they're living their lives. And I think that's a great lesson for us. It's very easy to point fingers and say, he or she, they're mean to me. They're doing things that are wrong. They're speaking about things that they shouldn't speak about, you know? And instead of looking at myself first and saying, what can I do to make a difference in the world? Instead of this bishop, he better start speaking more about this sin or that sin, or this priest or this deacon or this sister. They better start doing their job. No, it starts with me. What am I doing to show Jesus to the world? I think that's something for all of us to think about today. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to right now take a quick break. Tony Rossi and the Christophers has a message for us. After that, we'll come back with Father Jim Sitchko from the Diocese of Kentucky of Louisville, Archdiocese of Louisville, Kentucky. He'll be with us in a pre-recorded interview for my morning show, Spirit in the Morning. After that, I'll be back to wrap up the show. As a reminder, you are listening to The Gary Zimak Show on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Marcy Cottrell Houle's father, who suffered from Alzheimer's, was literally forgotten after being transferred to a nursing home after hip surgery. He was placed in a far-off room, so no one made a record of him being there, and he didn't receive any medication or water for close to a day. Incidents like that prompted Marcy to co-author the Christopher Award-winning book, The Gift of Caring, Saving Our Parents from the Perils of Modern Healthcare. Marcy said, when people get sick or get dementia, they're often written off by the community or the whole system. But the more you get to know them, you start to realize that they are still human beings. They still deserve a sense of dignity, and they still deserve our care. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Right now, joining us on the phone, Father Jim Sitchko is a full-time preacher. He's an evangelist, and he's a motivational speaker based in the Diocese of Lexington, Kentucky. In February of 2016, Pope Francis commissioned Father Jim as one of his papal missionaries of mercy, of which there are only 1,000 in the world, 100 in the United States.
Wow.
Father Jim travels around the world. He talks about Jesus, and he helps us to find Jesus in the ordinary things of daily life. You can follow him on Twitter at Jim Sitchko, and you can also visit his website, FRJIMS, FatherJimS.com. Father Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Good morning, morning. What a great song that was. That got me going.
Wasn't that great, Father? You know, Father, it is so difficult. I think this is why I'm so glad you're a part of this show. It is so difficult for us to find the Lord in the ordinary things of life, isn't it? How do we not forget about him as we go through the day?
First of all, I say that, you know, you're not going to be able to recognize Christ in the ordinary until two things. One, really, three things. One, until you recognize Christ in yourself, until you open your mind, your eyes, and your heart to be able to see Christ in those that you least expect, okay? And now the biggest thing for us as Catholics to recognize, regardless of what your mind and heart may say, to be able to recognize him in the Eucharist, to receive him in the Eucharist, and then to go forth bringing him into the world with the Eucharist within you, okay? Let me just give you an example. This last weekend, not this past weekend, but last weekend I was speaking in a church in Kinder, Louisiana.
Okay?
And while I was at Mass, I felt within my heart the presence of the Holy Spirit saying to me, tap this older couple and just bring them forth after the final blessing. So I saw this older couple. I said, I know you're going to think this is weird. Just come forth. I just feel God telling me to give you one of these crosses that Pope Francis had given me to give out to others.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman broke down in tears, and her husband began to break down. Now, this is an older couple.
Right.
And I said, what's going on? And she said, which I did not know, she said their son, who was a popular CBS anchor, was killed in a car accident.
No.
The mom said to me that before coming to church, she had prayed for her son to give us a sign that he is okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, all I'm saying is this. If we listen to that which God has given within each of us, our conscience and our heart, we will find him. But you know what happens, Gary?
What's that?
Is that we begin to allow doubt. We begin to allow fear. We begin to worry about what other people are going to think, you know? Mm. And we've got to recognize that Christ is alive in the world. He is with us. Mm. But see, we want to make Christ comfortable for us.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want to go outside of those comforts, you know?
Yeah, Father, let's talk about that, because I'm really glad you talked about that inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because I'm a firm believer that the Holy Spirit is constantly giving us suggestions. And most times we say, no, that's too crazy. I can't do that, right? I mean, doesn't that happen all the time?
You're exactly right, you know? What was it last week? I was gassing up my car, and a truck pulled up on the left side, and the person is, there's that feeling within my heart, and you know that feeling saying, go pay for his gas, and my mind is going, what are you doing, don't do it, and so I went around, and he immediately said, that's my pump, and I said, that's all right, he said, what are you doing, I said, I'm paying for your gas. He said, who are you?
Whoa.
I said, it doesn't matter. And I said, do you go to church? He goes, no. I said, well, my name is Father Jim. Know that you're always welcome at the Catholic Church or any church in the area. Well, he showed up at Mass yesterday.
Wow. Beautiful.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it happens. It happens. But see, the problem is we don't trust. And like I think I shared last time I was with you all, you know, in order to trust, you got to spend time with God. And when you spend time with God, you form a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that relationship, then an understanding of how God operates comes in. And then you learn to surrender yourself. You learn to let go, and then guess what? You just try it out. You try it out. You see if it works.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that, Father, because I'm sure somebody who is listening right now is saying, that's crazy. I just can't do it. I don't have, right? I don't have that kind of trust to do these things. What's the first step? What's the first step?
The first step is really risking. Huh?
Wow.
Let's bring up a scripture story.
Okay.
Okay. Here's a scripture story. Peter walking on the water.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Let's look back. If we really reflect that story, it wasn't Jesus who told Peter to walk out on the water. Who was it? It was Peter. Peter said, Lord, if that's really you,
that's right.
Mm-hmm. Call me, and I'll walk on the water. Well, the Lord said, come on.
I know.
Can I? Here's another thing to ask your listeners. Well, what about the other 10 in the boat?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you something? If I was in that boat, and I saw Peter walking on the water, I would have jumped out, pushed Peter down, and ran to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? And there's always someone, trust me, Gary, there's always someone who says, oh, but he sank.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Yeah, but he's the only one in heaven right now that I know of that's been picked up out of the ocean by our Lord mercifully one-on-one.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay? But guess what? We have another 11 people in the boat who did nothing.
That's right.
Wow,
who did
right.
nothing? Mm-hmm. Who missed that opportunity?
So
you know,
yeah, and I'm really glad you brought up that story. It is a great point. When I go out and speak, that's one of the stories that I use too. Because you're right, we had 11 people in the boat who didn't know if they would be able to walk on water. They just didn't try. it's hard. And, you know, I guess it's a matter of trust. It's a matter of, oh, I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to be criticized. Oftentimes, we just hold back and we don't go for it.
I'll tell you. Yeah, I'll give you another example, okay? So at that same place in Kinder, Louisiana, at the 10 a.m. Mass, again, before the final blessing, there was a family that came up at communion, and something just struck me. I asked them to come up. They came up, and she started crying before she even got to the altar, her and her husband, with this little infant. And I said, what is it about the people in this Louisiana town? Every time I call someone up, they start crying, you know? And I did.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't say anything. They didn't say anything to me. This is the email I get 3 hours later. It says, my name is Christina. I just want to thank you again for calling me and my family up at the 10 a.m. Mass. I wanted to let you know that our family needed this so much. The month of May was not the easiest month. I was 37 weeks pregnant, was in a car accident. My car was totaled. I had just paid it off the week before. I had to go into the hospital. No anatomic fluid left in the placenta. My baby arrived safely 3 weeks early. The next day, my husband was extremely sick. On the same day, we get a phone call that a drunk driver ran into our business.
Wow.
I then couldn't leave the hospital because I had 104 fever. My husband then came back. When we thought things were getting better, my husband's grandmother died unexpectedly. But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The Holy Spirit works through us if we allow the Spirit to work through us.
Right. He's not going to force his way into our life.
No.
Right. And that's the important thing to remember.
There you go, Gary. You just said God will never force himself upon us.
Wow. Hey, Father Jim, we have about less than a minute left. Before I want to quickly, would love to get you in the Philadelphia area. How can...
I would love to.
I know you're coming to Cherry Hill in the not distant, too distant future. That is not too far away. How can we contact you to find about, you know, bring you into a parish or to lead a conference?
First of all, I would love to just have a silly feast.
we'll definitely hook you up if you're in the area.
But if you want to bring me in, all you have to do is contact me through my website, frjims.com, frjims.com, and I'll make the opportunity happen. It's all by word of mouth. Thanks be to God, to my bishop, John Stowe, for giving me this opportunity to be a full-time evangelizer.
Awesome, and we're going to have that linked at our website, spiritinthemorning.com. And I encourage anybody listening to follow Father Jim on Twitter. He does a fantastic job. We're going to have his information also on spiritinthemorning.com. Father Jim Sitchko, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thank you all. God bless you all. Have a great Monday and a great week.
All right, Father Jim, man. What an inspiring guy. When we come back, we have lots more. Stay tuned.
If there's one thing atheists and theists can agree on, it's the fact that we've all felt the problem of God's hiddenness and have cried out, "Where are you, God?" The difference, however, is atheists think this is a reason to reject God and theists don't. Why? Well, first, God is not entirely hidden. Sure, we can't know he exists by seeing or touching him, but we can know he exists through logic and reason. There's also good reason to believe God has revealed himself through Jesus of Nazareth. If Jesus is raised from the dead, then everything he said is true. Second, God's in-your-face presence wouldn't necessarily make things better. Even on the natural level, we don't like overbearing parents. Why would we want God to be that way? So while God's partial hiddenness is a mystery, it's not a good reason to embrace atheism. I'm Carlo Broussard with a ready reason for Catholic Answers. Catholic.com.
Well, welcome back to the Gary Zimak Show. That is all the time we have for today. I want to thank you for tuning in. Remember, you can find out more about my work by going to followingthetruth.com. While you're at it, shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com and let me know what you think of the program. Until next time, thank you for listening. Remember that the Lord is right beside you. All you need to do is turn around, make sure you say hi. Talk to you next time. God bless you.